Welcome to our GSP Ace of the Day. I won't lie to you, listeners, we've got some work to do. 15-25-1, down 9.45 units overall through 8 days of picks at the 2021 U.S. Open. I know, that's unacceptable, and I'm not making excuses, simply relaying the facts to all of you. We've had some brutal beats over the past couple of days. You go back to Sunday, day 7, Garbiñ Muguruza looked like she was about to flip the script on Barbara Krejcikova, of course. Krejcikova calls a medical timeout at 5-6. Muguruza not able to find her rhythm after that point. Krejcikova closes out the straight set victory. That was unfortunately a loss for us. Angelique Kerber came so close to knocking off Leyla Fernandez, but in the end, the 18-year-old Canadian knocking off Kerber, ruining our parlay. Those were our two losses on Sunday. Yesterday, again, tough day of beats across the board. Belinda Bencic did deliver us one victory, but Bianca Andreescu, she came so close, was about to go up that break, serve for the match, it felt like, against Maria Sakkari in the second set. Unfortunately, Sakkari takes the second, her fitness winning out in the third. That delivered us a loss. Unfortunately, Riley Opelka falls in four sets. That was just, I was wrong. Lloyd Harris was the better player today, and, you know, sometimes you call them right, sometimes you call them wrong. Another player I have just missed on this tournament, Emma Raducanu, delivering us beat after beat. First, it was against Sarah Cerebes Tormo. Now, another dominant performance for her against Shelby Rogers. All of that said, again, we've got some work to do here down the home stretch. I'll be realistic. That 60% overall win percentage, that up 11.18 units, lofty targets at this point, but targets nevertheless. Am I going to up my ante for some bets that I'm confident in? Yes, but let's not get reckless here. Let's do our work. Let's do it responsibly with that in mind, of course. If you are looking for recap content of each and every day's action, hop on over to the Mini Break podcast feed. You can find those podcasts wherever you listen to your shows, Apple, Spotify, etc. Or you can find the links to them on our website, crackedrackets.com. Of course, immediate updates throughout the day. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, at Cracked Rackets. You want to message me directly, I am at GreatShotPod. But with that in mind, let's get into it. Our picks for day 9 of the 2021 U.S. Open. I don't have any money line picks for you, and I don't think that's going to surprise the listeners of this show because you guys are the most intelligent, well-informed in the business, and obviously, it's a quarterfinal day on day 9 of the 2021 U.S. Open. We've got two men's singles matches, two women's singles matches. Given where we're at in the draw, everything is going to be tight from a lines perspective, a spread perspective, over 2.5 sets perspective, or you're going to be facing a Novak Djokovic, an Alex Zverev, and, you know, a Daniil Medvedev. At that point, it's going to be lofty odds. And so, you know, finding parlays, finding value, that much more difficult. Of course, if you do want to know what the money lines look like this week, just in case you are curious where we are at for our matches, you've got Elina Svitolina, -275 favorite over Leyla Fernandez, who's at +220. You've also got Aryna Sabalenka, a -175 favorite over the aforementioned Barbara Krejcikova. Krejcikova, by the way, the last player alive in the women's singles draw with a Grand Slam singles title. That title, of course, for her came at the 2021 French Open. This is her first U.S. Open main draw. So yes, she's a slam champion, but she's not exactly an experienced slam champion. Going to be some chaos, going to be some funk down the home stretch of the women's event. And just for an update, in case some of you are curious, where do the futures odds stand right now? We'll stick with the women's side here. Sabalenka, the favorite at +240. That's interesting. But again, we've never seen her in a Grand Slam final, let alone win a title. So going to stay away from that one for now. You've got Pliskova +400. Number two, Bencic +500, tied with Svitolina +500. You then have Krejcikova, Raducanu +700, Sakkari +1800. Then your first big dip to Leyla Fernandez plus 1600. And with that dip in mind, Leyla Fernandez, the, you know, seemingly underdog in the field, although obviously it feels like Raducanu. We don't know much about her, but back-to-back round of 16s, clearly odds makers are fans. But, you know, that gets us to tomorrow's match, where that minus 275 number for Svitolina. She is the heaviest favorite thus far of any of the quarterfinal matches that have come out, and that's a testament to Alina Svitolina's record of late. You look at what Svitolina's been able to do. She comes into this match on a 9-match winning streak, winning the title in Chicago. She has won titles in, I believe, 9 out of 10 seasons since the 2012 season on the WTA Tour. You look for Svitolina here now in this 2021 campaign. You know, in what has been, I suppose, considered a down year for her, as you look at her ranking right now, Alina Svitolina currently ranked 4th, but you look at the race in terms of points accumulated this season, she's 13th, which obviously a little bit of a spread between that number where she's ranked right now. Some of that has to do with the rankings protections, and she's protecting semifinal points here at this 2021 U.S. Open, that she's made it to the quarterfinal round, accumulated as many as she had, extraordinarily valuable. You look for her 37-16 here in 2021, 70% win percentage in the 18 events that she's played here on the season. She's made the quarterfinals now in 9 of them. When you're, you know, that means she's winning multiple matches at about half of her events. She's made, you know, one final on the year. It was the final in Chicago where she wins the title. You look for Svitolina in terms of the degree of difficulty, the level of competition she's played. Always impressive. Svitolina's always going to beat who she's supposed to beat, right? 21-1 against opponents ranked outside the top 50. What's so impressive, though, for her, and perhaps, you know, indicative of why people think it's been a bit of a down year for her. We talk about how cluttered it is in the top 50 of the WTA rankings, how a Jill Teichman on the right week can look like a top 15 player. On the wrong week, she looks like she belongs outside the top 50. Therefore, in that 25 to 50 range feels about right for her. You look just right now in the women's game, the players ranked between 25 and 50. You have names like an Ostapenko, like a Collins, like a Kontave, Georgie, Cerebez, Torma, Serena freaking Williams right now, just a fun fact for all of you, but a lot of dangerous names floating in that range. You look for Svitolina this season. She's 16-15 against top 50 competition overall, but you look for her against the top 20. She sustains that same winning percentage, 6-5 overall. You look for her against top 10 opponents here this season. She's 2-2. Wins over, you know, both of those wins came over Kvitova in 3 sets. Both of her losses, by the way, to Ashley Barty, one of them in 3 sets. That's to say, it's been a pretty rock-solid year for Svitolina. You look at the numbers for her, holding 70.3% of the time. That's 1.2% above her career average. Breaking serve 39.1% of the time. That's 1.8% below her career average. Her 52.1% total points, 1.4% above her career average. All of these numbers make sense. You look for Svitolina, turns 27 here in a couple of days. She's smack dab in the prime of her career, and her numbers indicate as much. She's one of the 14 women right now on the WTA Tour to rank in the top 25 in both hold and break percentage. And now she's not elite in either category, not top 10, not even top 15. Her number's 24th, I believe, in overall hold percentage, 20th in overall break percentage. Those numbers are very good. There's no doubt about that. And she's always been a player with a really high floor, match in, match out, because just physically one of the most fluid movers, regardless of surface, and her ability to absorb, redirect. She's not going to beat herself, not commit bundles of unforced errors. Svitolina's just rock solid. And you look for her now, it's her 8th career quarterfinal at a Grand Slam. Now, she's 2-5 in her previous 7, but again, has made a U.S. Open semifinal before, made 2 semifinals back in the 2019 season. Didn't quite find her rhythm in 2020, but, you know, again, is back on the right path, particularly down the home stretch here of 2021. She was excellent in defeating Simona Halep in straight sets. Same deal against Kasatkina. Two players who you would think could match her physicality. They couldn't right now. She was moving better than them. She was more dangerous from against them in the outer thirds, and it just felt like Halep couldn't hurt her. That is why I am leaning towards her, despite, you know, again, that minus 275 money line, a little bit lofty for Svitolina, but -3.5 games over Leyla Fernandez tomorrow, that's a proposition that's interesting to me. You look for Alina Svitolina, she would have covered that -3.5 games in every single one of her victories here in this 9-match winning streak. You look on the flip side for Leyla Fernandez, who no doubt has been exceptional in her past two victories and has been the most impressive in the women's tournament thus far. You look at the four wins she's accumulated over Anna Konya, who's a former quarterfinalist at this event, the, I believe, 23-year-old, working her way back from injury, ripped through the qualifying draw. And then Fernandez beat her in straight sets. She beat Kaia Kanepi, who, you know, was a top 20 on hard court sort of player this season, straight sets in the second round. She knocks off Osaka, the most powerful player in women's tennis, in the third round. Then survives the grind against Angelique Kerber in the round of 16. Both of those matches, three-set victories. Both of those matches for Fernandez seemed like she was down fighting for survival, only to be clearly, you know, after getting over that second set hump, the more dominant player in the third set. The 18-year-old Canadian former junior Grand Slam champion, excuse me, 19-year-old, it was just her birthday, former junior Grand Slam champion, is one of those on the rise, going to have to circle, excuse me, talents in the women's game. And you look for Fernandez here this season, who was not a top 50 player coming into this event. You look at this result now, Leyla Fernandez up to number 49 in the live rankings. You look for her in terms of points accumulated here this season, she's 42nd. ELO ratings, I believe, for Leyla Fernandez right now, outside the top 50. Yes, she's 80 overall. She's 69th in 2021. That will change once the 2021 U.S. Open results are incorporated. But the point is, this is clearly a breakthrough result for her. Of course, she was is now 21-15 here in 2020. In her career, 3-5 against top 20 opponents, 10-12 against top 50 opponents. Of course, all two of her three wins against top 20 opponents came at this U.S. Open. Clearly, she's playing the best tennis of her career. And what's so fascinating, listening to her in interviews and, you know, hearing her speak and watching her perform, she's clearly embraced the moment. And we saw it tonight with Jensen Brooksby and Djokovic. I don't care, these young players, 18, 19 years old, yes, they've been pushed physically in this tournament, but they're on adrenaline, and they're 19 years old. You know what's really easy to do when you're 19 years old? You get a day off in between matches, you're going to be just fine come that next day. And so, you know, for Leyla Fernandez, yeah, she spent a lot of time on court, but obviously she's been exceptional this week. All of that said, from an eye test perspective, as good as Leyla Fernandez has been, and you look for her numbers, by the way, here this season, for Fernandez in 2021, hold percentage for her, 67%, that number amongst top 50 players on the WTA Tour would be good for about 33rd right now. You look at Leyla Fernandez's break percentage, which is 37.6%, that number actually would be sneaky, again, sneaky effective. She would be 28th in break percentage. Very Svitolina-y, right? She's very good at everything, and she moves well, she absorbs, she redirects, she can take the ball early on these quicker courts, she moves forward, and you can just see she grew up in Canada playing on the hard courts. But again, the numbers suggest it, I think the eye test suggests it, Svitolina's just been better than Leyla Fernandez here at this event. And I just think as good as Fernandez has been, you know, that she's going to see someone who matches her stroke for stroke, matches her physicality over the course of three sets. And I know she just saw that against Kerber, but it's a different sort of physicality. You know, Svitolina's in the outer thirds. Kerber's taking the ball early on the rise. And I think Kerber's trying, and not that Kerber can't grind, but I just think, again, watching this version of Alina Svitolina, I don't know what Fernandez is going to do to hurt her. I think that, you know, right now Svitolina is just a little bit further developed at everything, does everything a little bit better, and I think she matches up particularly well with lefties. I think that 3.5 game number's too low. So give me Svitolina minus 3.5 games over Fernandez. I think she wins in straight sets. I don't think either of the sets go to a tiebreaker. That would cover that 3.5 game number. We're going to throw two units on it. We're getting aggressive here. Two units, folks, to win 1.42. Again, I'm feeling pretty good about this wager. This is a bet on how good Svitolina has looked, on the fact that it has been back-to-back three-set wins for Leyla Fernandez. It's not Raducanu, who went 0-1 against Cerebez Tormo now, and, you know, what was it, 2-1 against Shelby Rogers. No, she's been pushed in a way that Raducanu hasn't quite, and I just think Svitolina is going to be that bridge too far. Give me Svitolina to advance minus 3.5 games, minus 142 units to win 1.42. That's ace number one. My other three aces, excuse me. One's a parlay. The other two also over, under, and spreads. Because, by the way, I mentioned the women's spreads. And just quickly, in case you're curious, the tennis abstract numbers tomorrow. Svitolina, 76.3% favorite, according to Tennis Abstract single forecast. They also have Sabalenka, a 58% favorite over Krejci Kova. That's where I want to go next while we stick on this women's side. You look for Sabalenka tomorrow by the money line. It's just not particularly appealing. Minus 175. Yeah, you can bet a unit on that. You'll get like 0.58 or 0.57 in return. That's good. That's not great. And so, you know, again, you look at the spread, though, minus 2.5 games, which is essentially anything but a 6-6 victory, and I really don't think the match is going to go 6-6. It's minus 120 odds. That's much better. And if you back Sabalenka to win the match, minus 2.5 games is not outrageous to cover. Because, again, even if the match goes three sets, we know Aryna Sabalenka goes lopsided. That best 35 minutes can be followed by a bad 15. But in that best 35 stretch, she can rip off a 6-2 set in about 25 minutes. That's how good Aryna Sabalenka can be. Of course, we all saw the way Krejcikova left the court against Muguruza, clearly in pain physically and just, again, emotionally, mentally, what you have to go through to just sustain yourself during that match, the focus it takes. It's going to wear you down, and you just can't be worn down against Aryna Sabalenka, because if you leave her balls in the center of the court, and even if you don't, she's playing Mach 5 tennis the entire time. She's going big. She's going to make you pay. You look for Sabalenka. Obviously, she's currently number 2 in the rankings. She's currently 3 in the race behind Krejcikova. Krejcikova right now in the rankings, I believe, currently career high number 7 overall in the live rankings. ELO ratings right now, Sabalenka a little bit higher in overall ELO. She is currently number 3, Krejcikova number 4. In terms of 2021 specific, Krejcikova 2, Sabalenka 10. You look right now, Sabalenka, one of the 5 players to be top 15 in both hold and break percentage, top 16, excuse me. You look right now for Krejcikova, she is one of the 14 players to be top 25 in both categories. They're both elite servers. Sabalenka, a little bit better numbers as a returner. From a statistic standpoint, it's a pretty even match across the board. Again, Tennis Abstract gives Sabalenka a 58% chance to Krejcikova's 42%. That's reflected in that minus 175 odds. Sabalenka 42-14 here in 2021. She's 18-2 against opponents outside the top 50, 24-12. That is super impressive against top 50 opponents, 8-7 against the top 20. You look for her against the top 10. She's 2-3 this season. Wins over Barty and Halep, 2 losses to Barty and a loss to Pliskova as well. She's been damn good here throughout the course of the year. Of course, you look for her in terms of Grand Slam success. It's her second quarterfinal, back-to-back quarterfinals for Sabalenka. She has beaten Krejcikova in their careers. They played once. It was last year indoors in Lynn's home stretch. That was during the Sabalenka win streak. Sabalenka, a 3-set victory in that semifinal match. Of course, that was a fast conditions court. This is going to be a fast conditions court. And look, The numbers for Krejcikova speak for themselves. She's third in hold percentage, behind Osaka and Barty. She's 29-3 since May 24th, winning the title in Strasbourg, ripping through Roland Garros. She has as many quarterfinals in her career at majors as Aryna Sabalenka, even if the majority, if not all, of her success has come here in the 2021 season. It's her first U.S. Open main draw, and yet, you know, again, she's yet to drop a set. The most impressive win for her over, of course, Garbine Muguruza in her last match. And through the first set and a half in that match, she was flawless. She wasn't making mistakes. She wasn't making errors. But then the pressure started to pick up. And then look, again, physically, we don't know what sort of shape Barbara Krejcikova is in. And I just think, you know, again, you need to be fit as a fiddle when you're playing Aryna Sabalenka because of the heaviness and the pace of her shot, the aggression with which she plays. She's keeping you on your back foot. And Sabalenka's been peaking in her past few matches, straight sets over Danielle Collins, straight sets over former doubles partner Elisa Mertens. This is a bet on Sabalenka. Both A, I think her best is better than Krejcikova's best, and B, I think she's closer to her best right now than Krejcikova will be after that Muguruza match. A -2.5 game spread at -120 is better value than a -175 money line, and I just think Sabalenka's going to win. So give me Sabalenka -2.5 games over Krejcikova, -120, one unit to win 0.83. That's ace of the day number two. Ace of the day number three, Medvedev over Van de Zandschulp. With all due respect to my main man, BVDZ, and I read these numbers on the mini break, you look for him. He's 42-18 overall in 2021. You look for him in the live rankings, life-changing sort of number for Botic Van de Zandschulp. He goes from outside the top 100 to a new career high of number 62 in the live rankings. But again, he's made a Challenger final this year, four Challenger semifinals, qualified at all four slams. That said, he never played an ATP Tour main draw match before 2021. He was 6-8. He's 6-8 now against top 100 opponents in his career, 4-5 against the top 50, but three of those four wins came in this event. And with all due respect, as you know, good of a shot maker as he is, as physical as he was in that match, his five-set win over Diego Schwartzman to advance, he now gets the monster of all monsters in Daniil Medvedev. Daniil Medvedev, who has not lost a set yet in this tournament, a Daniil Medvedev who would have covered a 9-game spread in all but one of his four victories here at the 2021 U.S. Open. You look for him 30-10 now in his career in hard court slams. His last five results at the slams, final 2019 U.S. Open, round of 16, 2020 Australia. He also did that 2019 Australia for what it's worth. Semifinals last year, finals Australia this year, now into the quarterfinals as well. You look for him over that course of time, straight set victories for him, just again in terms of the deciders for him in straight. He's 22-6 in straight set matches on hard courts in his career. You look for him since 2019, he's 21-2 in straight set matches. I believe all but three of those 21 victories would have covered an 8.5 game spread. That's what we're hitting tomorrow, folks. -8.5 games Medvedev over Van de Zandschulp. He just hasn't seen someone who plays with the physicality and then also has the 125-mile-per-hour serve like Medvedev, who can match backhands with him, who can match the creativity, the slices. I just think Medvedev's locked in right now. It's him to the finals collision course, whether that's Zverev or Djokovic remains to be seen. He's your Tennis Abstract percentage favorite to win the event right now, down to +185 odds in terms of the futures. And by the way, for those of you who are curious right now, where are the men's futures odds? Djokovic back up to down to -120. Interesting. To win the event, according to DraftKings, Medvedev +190, Zverev +450. Then it drops off a cliff. 35-1 odds for Alcaraz, 40-1 for Berrettini, 60-1 FAA, 130-1 for Lloyd Harris, 400-1 for our main man, BVDZ. Again, you look for Daniil Medvedev, I think he advances tomorrow. I think he covers that -8.5 games. A -165 money line isn't great, but I think that's a win. Give me Medvedev to cover. We're going to throw a unit on that to win 0.6. Those are the spreads I like. Of course I'm not going to leave you without a parlay. Even if we're in a losing streak, we'll parlay our way out of it if we have to. And look, I'm going to go with the two players I'm taking on the spreads. I'm going to parlay Svitolina, Sabalenka, minus 275 over Fernandez for Svitolina, minus 175 over Krejcikova for Sabalenka. I'm also going to throw FAA over Alcaraz, minus 220, 10 sets of tennis for Alcaraz in his past two matches. I know Felix has played a physical, you know, nine sets in his past two, but Felix has been at this stage before, and you know, it was immediately at his past slam, and so he did know how to pace himself and just the preparation a little bit better than Alcaraz, who's obviously got some adrenaline to run on at this point. And Alcaraz hits, you know, forehand to forehand. Oh man, this is going to be a fun exchange, because normally you say no one can out hit Felix on the forehand side. Normally you say no one can out hit Carlos Alcaraz on the forehand side. These, both of these guys are in the Sonic Boom Club. That's what it sounds like when they're hitting the forehand. I think Felix is a little bit better at driving his backhand. I think Carlos Alcaraz a little bit better at playing the slice. Comes down to the serve. And I back Felix over Alcaraz right now. I just think he has a little bit more pop. He's a little bit more solid on the second serve as well. I think Felix, meanwhile, is going to get big cuts on his second serve return. Minus 220 for Felix tomorrow. You throw him into the Svitolina-Sabalenka parlay. Plus 211 odds. It's good enough for a quarter of a unit. We're not going to get crazy here, but we do need a parlay, so 0.25 on that to win 0.52. Again, to quickly recap your aces of the day, we'll go Svitolina, -3.5 games over Fernandez, 2 units to win 1.42. Sabalenka, -2.5 games over Krejcikova, 1 unit to win 0.83. Medvedev, -8.5 games over Vandeskulp, 1 to win 0.6. And then a Svitolina, Sabalenka, FAA parlay, +211, 0.25 units to win 0.52. Those are your picks for our aces of the day. Again, recaps each and every day on the Mini Break podcast. If you need the more immediate updates, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, we are at Crack Rackets. You want to message me directly, I am at Great Shout Pod. Like, rate, subscribe, review to this show, that Mini Break podcast feed, our Cracked Interviews podcast, and everything we are doing at CR. You know who will make it will make happy? Our super producers, Max Fliegner and Daniel Westhoff, who, as always, have a of an editing job to do day in, day out. But with that said, again, we hope you all, you all know what we say. For our super producers, Max Fliegner and Daniel Westhoff, for all of us here at both Cracked Rackets and the Tennis Channel Podcast Network, I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. You know what we say, may the odds be ever in your favor. And hey, great shot. Good luck, everyone.